And that means give your heart to it. Just give your heart, love God, be kind, love everyone. One thing that made such an impression on me out of the God Alone book, yes, I think it must have been there, because it was a letter from Master, I think, to Sister Gyanamata. And he was telling her what a comfort it was to him to have her at Mount Washington. And he said, because you're a peacemaker. And I reflected on that a lot, what that actually means. And what he's saying there is, I talked to Swami about this later. I'll liken this to other experiences. In the very early 70s, when Swami went to India in 1972, some very unfortunate things happened with a couple of individuals, and people did not behave well. This is 72. The community started in 68, 69, and we were all really young. And people misbehaved in the ways that people misbehave. But Swami was thousands of miles away. And a few people got very self-righteous and just kind of, you know, we won't have it, we won't stand for it, this is not allowed kind of energy, and drove several individuals out of the community, essentially. Swami came back and said, essentially, you young hotheads, he said, he didn't speak directly to the young hotheads, but he said it more privately, you young hotheads, he said, you went after a mosquito with a baseball bat, which is, you know, you were just too inexperienced to have any sense about how you work with people. And as a result, a couple of devotees really just, they never came back. And it was so, the implications of it only, you know, I only figured it out a long time later. But then what Master would go away, and of course, see, this is our mistake. We think, well, we're a spiritual place and we're here for the spiritual people and you're not behaving properly and you're not very nice and you have all these bad qualities and you behave like that. And you, at first, you think your job is to purify the place of all these people, you know, who aren't worthy enough to be there. But the guru looks at it just the opposite. These are the halt, the blind, and the lame. And he knows that his job above all is to just keep them there so that they can grow, if they're truly his. Do you know what I mean? Oliver Black complained once to Master, apparently, about the people who are coming to his center. He said, all I get, sir, is the halt, the blind, and the lame. And Master said, they're your people, Oliver. Because, it's, you know, God isn't, we're all a little broken. Swami once said, you know, this place is a hospital. Sometimes Master calls it a zoo. And sometimes it's the more bizarre who come onto the spiritual path, because the ones for whom it's all working great, why would they? Right? So a lot of times it is just the halt, the blind, and the lame who struggle in the door. And not surprisingly, they're halt, they're blind, and they're lame. And so it doesn't necessarily work properly. But Master had Sister Gyanamata there, and he knew that she would hold them all. She would make the peace. She wouldn't let small things blow them apart. She would hold them together. It was such a comfort to Master, because he knew that none of the sheep would be lost as long as she was there. Isn't it just, it's just so sweet. It was so moving when I really contemplated that, because so often, you see, we value the wrong things. And that's why old Khayyam says, just come away from all those people who are just talking and seem smart. You know, let's just go where it's really true. Because one thing is certain, and that's that we just have a little time. We have to get into the divine. There's no choice. Very interesting. And then the next two go together. Myself, when young, did eagerly frequent doctor and saint, and heard great argument about it and about, but evermore came out by the same door as I went in. With them the seed of wisdom did I sow, and with my own hand labored it to grow. And this was all the harvest that I reaped. I came like water, and like wind I go. Isn't that just gorgeous? I love that one. With them the seed of wisdom did I sow, and with my own hand labored it to grow. So Master's, Omar Khayyam is talking here about, in the first one, just to study, to listen, to seek out the wise. and learned to go in and out of super consciousness. That's what Master meant by came in by the same door, came out by the same door as in I went. At first you might read that to mean that no change happened to him. But what he's actually saying is that he was able to go in and out of super consciousness. That's how he began to understand. That's how Master interprets it. And then he writes a lot about bringing it into daily life. And then he talks about how the blessings and guidance of the wise are needed. You know, because Omar Khayyam is keeping the right tradition, both by saying, follow me, which is another way of saying, I am a wise man now and you can follow me. And then he's also saying that I became wise because I followed those who know. And this is the simple need for a guru. We just can't find it on our own. But then he balances it. I sowed the seed of wisdom with the wise, but then with my own hand, I had to apply myself because otherwise nothing will come of it. And then what happens? This change of consciousness, I came like water. And the way Master describes it is such a dynamic image of turbulent and moving and whirling eddies. This is the water, and the wind is just clear and free. I came like water, like all the river of desires is the phrase that he uses. And also, I think he in the next quatrain, it might be where he uses this. But it's just that you're transformed by the heat and the light of the spirit. The water, it just evaporates and turns into the wind. So all of those desires evaporate and are changed. It's like our purification service and our fire ceremony. You apply that energy of the divine energy, and the water, all that water just disappears. I came like water and I go like wind. It's just all the rivers of desire in the spine are burned up in the chakras and burned up in the spine. The breath, the wind, he doesn't say it, but the wind represents the breath also. The river of desires, the karma in the spine is changed by the meditation on the breath and so on. Just beautiful images together. I came like water and like wind I go. Then we have into this universe and why, not knowing, nor whence, like water willy-nilly flowing, and out of it, as wind along the waste, I know not whither, willy-nilly blowing. And this is the same. I was thinking of the power of the sun to dry up water. I mean, the image of how if you just spill water and put the blazing sun on it, no matter how much there is in time, it will all go away. I was sort of picturing the river of my turbulent desires in the fire of God's transforming energy. Anything is possible. Deserts are now where rivers used to be. And then this last one, then we'll stop. What without asking, hither hurried hence, and without asking, whither hurried, no, excuse me, what without asking, hither hurried whence, and without asking, whither hurried hence, another and another cup to drown the memory of this impertinence. Don't you like that? But what he says is, you know, it's just, we have this feeling like it's been done to us. We have this feeling like we have no control. I used to say when I was in college, when I got on the path after college, that I used to say I felt like the puck in the ice hockey game of life. That was the image I always had. That I just like that, you didn't know where it came from, you didn't know where it was going, and you were just moving around all the time, getting whacked from point to point. And getting on the spiritual path was like going up into the newscaster's place and just being able to see the whole flow of the game out there. But he also says, there's no point in lamenting our circumstances. And that's a theme all the way through. It just makes absolutely no difference. When Master says a saint is a sinner who never gave up, another interesting way of put that is a saint is a sinner who changed his behavior and his attitude, which is to say there's absolutely nothing happening except your consciousness. If you change your consciousness, you become something else. I mean, it's very important to just say that over and over and over and over again. No matter what is going on, if you change your consciousness, it ceases to be an issue. I mean, circumstances may not necessarily dissolve instantly, but everything that matters dissolves. And so this is why he says, another and another cup, let's just immerse ourselves, get ourselves drunk on this wine, and then we can erase even the memory of how helplessly we lived in this. And that's our divine freedom. Okay. I think that will do us for tonight. Any comments or questions? So it's really, you know, even though we have this one long one in number 31, it's really about the same number of pages. It works pretty well all the way through. Okay. So we'll see you next week. Thank you very much.